Get your green on at Plants for All Seasons. From perennials and annuals to ground cover and grasses, their hand-chosen plants are second only to their support. Get even greener. Plants for All Seasons gardening classes are a fun way to learn something new for everyone, from beginning or master gardeners. Plants for All Seasons, 21328 Highway 249, just north of Louetta, and online at plantsforallseasons.com.
Let's get growing. Welcome to the Home Show Garden Pros. It's time for gardening and landscape tips and advice from Houston's leading garden and landscape experts. Now, here's Danny Milliken with Michael Wagner from Warren's Southern Gardens and Kingwood Garden Center.
Welcome back. Hour number two here of Home Show Garden Pros on Sports Radio 610. Our new number, you may not have it yet, it's 281-833-3333. So you just dial 281, then 8, and then you keep hitting threes until it starts ringing. So you had Sherry Hara on from Plants for All Seasons, did a great job. If you don't know much about the show, you know, Happy New Year. Maybe it's a good time. Maybe one of your resolutions this year is to start gardening. Maybe you want to get into gardening, begin your gardens. And so I'm going to walk you through a little bit how to build a bed. That's one of the things that we want you to make sure that you know how to do. So part of that is Houston's soil is fairly thick clay. A lot of times people call it gumbo. There's also this gray clay that we've got, kind of pure kindergarten clay, right? The thing you make little dudes out of or little houses or trees. Whatever it is you're making your clay figurines out of, that's the same stuff that we grow. And it's not so much that it's bad for plants. It just has tiny, tiny molecules, and so it gets really compacted really easily. So our big goal is to make sure we keep it uncompacted, right? We keep it loose. This is the word for this is tilth, right? That's what when we till, we're trying to provide tilth. But in the clay, it doesn't work quite as well because it just recompacts. And so that is sort of exactly what we are trying to get after, is providing tilth. The big way we do that with Houston gardening is by doing raised beds. So a lot of your landscape beds at your home are raised beds. They may have a border on them. Maybe it's a stone border. Maybe it's a metal barrier, but it's, you know, 2 or 3 inches tall. And that is enough if you're using mulch and you're growing perennials, right? Because that mulch will kind of slowly improve the soil. It'll add soil life, add carbon to the soil. That's what trees are made of, basically, is carbon. And that's what we're doing. So the big thing to remember with a raised bed, and I'm really talking veggie beds right now, is that you want it to design it so that it pulls you out there. It brings you and your family out. So we kind of call that emotional connection, emotional access. This is something that you're going to see on a regular basis. You're going to want to go walk around your beds, coffee, maybe tea in the morning, whatever you like drinking in the morning, OJ. It's up to you. Whatever you like. So I always try to encourage people to make a pathway out to their beds, definitely not tucking their beds behind their garage or around the corner of the house where they can't see it. Another kind of space limitation that stops those two places from being great places to grow beds or grow veggies is that they are not sunny, right? Sun is very important to vegetable beds. They literally need full sun all summer, all day, all year long, especially in the winter, which means they need to be open to the southern sun. They need to be open to a southerly direction. And so if that's what you want to do, you need to find a place that gets full sun, that's within view. And something else to kind of keep in mind is, can I get a wheelbarrow to it? Am I going to be comfortable bringing like lots of bags of soil to it? Flats of plants? Is it easy to walk to? Can I get my hose there? Right? Is it going to be easy to water? Some of these physical constraints are things to think about as you're planning your bed too. So choosing your space is very important because it leads to success ultimately. You want to strategize and plan correctly right from the get-go. And so that is a big reason that we are kind of exploring that first as part of our build-a-bed conversation, is you want to start with the right locale. So that's the first step. Next is actually building the bed and materials. So 281-833-3333. We want to hear from you this new year, and we're going to get to Lee right when we get back from this break here on Home Show Garden Pros on Sports Radio 610.
Growing healthier plants is easier when you add Nature's Way Resources Remineralizer. A blend of special Texas mineral-rich sands, Nature's Way Remineralizer provides crucial elements and minerals craved by plants and missing from our Gulf Coast soil. Your garden, yard, and trees will grow stronger, healthier, and resistant to pests. Here's the best part. Your harvest will be more nutritious and delicious. Find Nature's Way Remineralizer at leading garden centers. There's a location near you at naturewayresources.com.
You're listening to the Home Show Garden Pros. Gardening help you want, answers you can trust from members of the Home Show Garden Pros Co-op.
I'm Joey Linderman from Enchanted Nurseries and Landscapes in Richmond.
Sherry Hera from Plants for All Seasons in Northwest Houston.
Hi, it's Anita Nelson from Nelson Nursery and Water Gardens in Katy.
Connect with Home Show Garden Pros Co-op members anytime at homeshowgardenpros.com or call now 281-496-5711.
That's right, 281-833-3333. That's our number to get to us, Home Show Garden Pros. And we have Michael Wagner from Warren Southern Gardens and Kingwood Garden Center with us today, dishing out great information. Michael, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good to connect. We're exploring a building the bed episode today, assuming a lot of people have the resolution of gardening more. And so I kind of talked a little bit about finding a good location, but of course we're going to take time to answer gardening questions. And so we're going to do that here. We got Lee. Lee, you're on the phone here with Michael and I.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing good. Doing good. How are you, Lee?
I'm fine. My question is about planting a very early spring garden. I've got a friend who grew some Ashley spinach last year and really liked it. I'm wondering, is it too late for me to plant spinach this spring?
When it comes down to it, spinach is an incredibly wonderful thing to do and handles the cold weather really well. What part of town are you in, Lee?
I'm on the north side.
Okay, yeah. So that Ashley spinach really is wonderful tasting and can handle humidity a little bit better than some other spinaches. The problem is that it grows pretty slowly when you're growing from seed. And so you may not get quite the time window, may be a little bit short. Now, depending on how north the north side you are,
I'm pretty north.
Yeah, well, I'd give it a shot. I might try to start the seeds inside versus kind of growing them, sowing them directly into the soil. But yeah, spinach can be very rewarding. It's easy to use in soups, salads, fresh chomping.
Right. I've got some little containers that are like the ones that you get side dressings at a cafe, little clear ones that have a top on them.
Oh, yeah, little ramekins.
Yeah, little ramekins, and I'm going to put a little layer of wet paper towels down below that to start the seeds in there, and I'm going to have those out on a counter where they get plenty of light.
Well, it sounds like a plan. I would definitely start as soon as possible with spinach since it's a little bit slower grower.
Right. Well, this actually is pretty vigorous.
Oh, well, that's nice. That's really nice.
Yeah.
I've been really enjoying a plant called Okinawa spinach this year, and it's a perennial that kind of always grows. Got to shade it a little bit in the summer, but it really loves the winter season. So, hey, well, thanks so much for the call, Lee.
Oh, you bet. I hope y'all have a good day.
You too. Well, Michael, did kind of lost you a little bit during that call, but our guy, hey, Michael, lost you a little bit of that call, but our guy there was talking about a Ashley spinach. Any spinach growing tips for the people?
I'm not particularly familiar with that variety, but really no tips. I think he's got a pretty good little program going there with the paper towels and, you know, a good lightweight soil to start his seeds.
Michael, why is the paper towel a good thing? Like, what? Because that keeps it moist, I guess?
It's the moisture, yeah, I think so. It's just kind of one of those... maybe you call it an old wives' tale.
Yeah, but yeah.
A lot of people have done it. I've never used that before. I'm kind of partial to peat pots. There's a lot of new paper ones now.
right,
that degrade a little bit, but a little quicker than normal. And you know, a good peat soil, there are several companies that make a good seed starting soil, you know, free of diseases and bacteria and all those kind of things. And it works out pretty well. The one thing when you do peat pots or paper things, I like to tear the tops off. Sometimes those materials can wick or evaporate moisture pretty quickly.
Mm.
And so it it kind of stops that, keeps everything in the soil alive.
That makes a ton of sense. Yeah, you're kind of providing this almost like diffuser if you leave the very top of those wick, those pots.
Right.
So you're talking about the things that kind of look like, you know, little cups, and but if you don't fill the soil up all the way, you lose a lot of moisture just by wicking through that pot.
Right.
It's all about surface area, Michael.
Always. Sorry? I said
it's all about surface area.
Surface area, right, yeah. It's just a way for moisture to escape and evaporate and maybe get your soil a little bit drier.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, starting seeds is always like an interesting interesting thing. Maybe that's a few people's resolution this year, so start more seeds. And in your mind, what are some of the most rewarding / easiest seeds that you see to start?
Well, in the vegetable line, tomatoes are always really easy. Tomatoes and peppers both, I think, are good. The thing you want to make sure is to keep those plants, or I like to keep them outside, weather permitting, unless you have a really good lighting system inside. But otherwise, they'll tend to grow, you know, an inch or two a day. And when you plant them, that's okay, too, but make sure you plant them 6 or 8 inches deep.
Gotcha. Wow.
Don't try to put them at soil level and then have an 8 or 10 inch plant above it. That's going to it makes the plant weak, and you'll just maybe be more susceptible to insects and diseases.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's really great that you mentioned tomatoes and peppers, because those are two that are kind of hard to grow directly into the soil. You're better off starting them inside almost every time.
Right. It makes for a better, stronger plant, I think.
Yeah. I tell you, I've directly sown tomatoes quite a few times, and I'm truly convinced that I'm better off just kind of like shopping at Warren Southern Gardens for tomatoes when y'all come in, because you're timing them so right. You get them in nice and early, and you know that is my goal of tomato strategies, is gobble them up when I can see them as soon as I can possibly see them. But if people are
yeah, yeah.
I'll say this with tomato seed starting, Michael. If people are trying to grow their tomatoes for the spring, they need to be starting them now, right? Or even a...
Exactly. I try to start them now. It'll probably take you 3 weeks to get a nice plant. You could start them. You could shift them into a gallon pot if you wanted to hold them for a little bit longer. But usually I shoot for probably mid-February, no later than the 1st of March. It just has to be, because we need to get as much set fruit as we can before the evenings get real hot again. Tomatoes don't like it when it's nighttime, they're 70 and 75 degrees. They just don't sit. The tomato flower is probably one of the most difficult ones that's in the whole wide world, I think.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's got to be buzz-pollinated. Or no, it's air-pollinated, right?
Right, yeah. Yeah, so, you know, if you have an old electric toothbrush, don't throw it away. Take it outside about every 2 or 3 days and do a little vibration for your tomato plants.
Wow.
And it shakes the pollen loose. It gets it loose. It tends to cake whenever the humidity is high and the nights are warm.
Oh, wow.
And that's the problem. It's just a terrible flower. If you look at it, it's a challenge from nature. That's what it is.
Well, you know, sometimes nature loves a challenge.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And nature loves a challenge, but abhors a vacuum. Am I right? Hates a vacuum.
Right.
So.
Right.
Well, awesome. If you guys are out there and you got questions about tomatoes, we'd love to help answer those. Like we mentioned, if you're thinking of starting some tomatoes, you need to. This is like the end of the window for spring tomatoes. So 281-833-3333. We're here, Home Show Garden Pros. Michael Wagner from Kingwood Garden Centers is here with me, and I will be right back.
More carbon is a good thing for your plants and soil. Carbon-rich fertilizers are best for both this time of year. This is Home Show Garden Pros on Sports Radio 610.
281-833-3333. We're on the phone with Michael Wagner from Warren Southern Gardens and Kingwood Garden Center. How's it going up in Kingwood, Michael?
It's doing very well. We've been closed a few days for the holidays. The gift shop was open to kind of clean up the last few little items in there. Some really great sales.
Ooh.
For next year's Christmas and just some odds and ends and things. A really nice selection. I haven't checked in the last couple of days to see how sales were, but I'm sure we'll go over all that information come Monday morning.
We'll be
ready for a new year.
All right. Yes, that is what we're in. It is a brand new year here, January 1st, bright and early in the morning, 8:21. And we're talking gardening. We're helping you out with your resolutions, with your gardening skills. And I know a big resolution every year for people, Michael, is growing their own food. I think a lot of people, too, are kind of, their mindset is, you know, going organic is another resolution they've got. They want to do better as far as what they're doing with their lawns from an environmental perspective, water quality, stuff like that. But we're going to focus on growing food first and then getting into lawn advice later. But talked a little bit about building a bed, a veggie bed. And I talked, kind of covered the space, you know, the light, being able to see it, adding some pads, adding some space that make it enjoyable. But when it comes to actually building the beds, let's talk building materials a little bit.
Sure.
Do you have any specific favorite building materials that are your go-tos?
Well, there are some pre-done products that we like pretty well. Soil Mender makes a nice raised bed mix.
Oh.
It's all ready to go. We have a new one in this year from Espoma, which is one of our top organic lines. And they have a raised bed mix. They have a compost mix. So there are several things like that. I prefer to just, you know, probably at least start with an 8 to 12-inch raised bed.
Okay. So if we're going to go up these 8 inches, these 12 inches, what do you see us making the outside of? I mean, I have made raised beds out of everything you can think of, mm-hmm. right? Stones, wood, concrete blocks, mulch, right? Mulch piles. What's your favorite? If you had like a favorite to make that border out of?
Well, stones are great. I like those. The regular cinder blocks are great.
Mm.
That makes a really good raised bed base to plant with, and also gives you two holes in each one to plant something.
Hey, yeah, there we go. There's your flower area,
it,
right?
Some people will use. I would prefer cedar if I were going to go to the construction portion of it.
Yeah,
stay away from creosote poles like railroad ties and those type of things. But rock is sometimes the best.
Yeah,
and the easiest, anything to do a border to hold the soil in.
That's but right. That's
rock
what we're really
would be my number one choice.
Yeah, the I have seen those ledge stones. There's 4-inch and 6-inch tall kind of stones that are really cool.
Uh-huh.
And you can stack on each other and make a really nice kind of defined border. People use them for front landscaping, but they don't use them for veggie beds very often. But for me, it's just as easy. And, you know, if you have 2 4-inchers, all of a sudden you're at 8 inches. And I think that, Mike, a lot of times people think that you put the soil in and it's going to spill out like water. And, you know, it does do that at the beginning. But over time, that soil really gains a structure and really kind of stays pat. Just how it's going to be. So even if they're loosely stacked stones, you don't need to worry about gluing them together. You can have a really lovely bed. And if you're using stone like that, you really don't need to make a square or a rectangle. You can make some other shape even.
Yeah, well, nice freeform beds are nice. Or even, you know, let your mind wander with your stones and make circles and squares and various things like that. You can add a little bit of design to it.
Yeah, and that's going to do a lot to bring you into your bed also, if you've designed it a little bit with something you like. And, You know, this is where Google is actually helpful because it can provide some interesting designs. Let's say that you love kind of Japanese style landscaping, or you know, you want to find a good way to, you know, make a yin and a yang, I don't know, in your beds. There, you can look those up, and you can actually do those with some of those more free fitting stones. Now let's talk about cinder block a little bit. Cinder block is great, and you do get these planting things. My one issue with it is it gets a little bit of like crooked if you don't install it well. And so anytime you're doing any of these modular pieces, not using lumber, you want to carve yourself a little ditch, right? And you want to fill that with sand so you can level the pieces as they go in, and the sand is easy to move, and it'll settle, everything will level and stay level for a few years, which is kind of nice. But yeah, cinder block is cheap and easy. And you can stack up a little bit too with cinder block. Same thing applies. That soil is not going to be constantly pushing out and pushing out. So, yeah, and then I definitely am with you, Michael. And this is what we're going to cover kind of next here, is why is it so important to use good soil, right? That's the big thing. You've got to use good soil. So we're going to explore that when we get back this next break. 281-833-3333, Home Show Garden Pros.
You got to eat healthy to be healthy. True for you, true for your garden, yard, and landscaping. Feed your plants. Choose MicroLife Humates Plus Granular with the purple label. MicroLife Humates Plus is concentrated compost in a bag. Easy way to improve all soils and support all plants. Feed now and your plants will love you back in the spring. MicroLife Humates Plus Granular Fertilizer, perfect for winter feeding. Healthy soils, healthy plants, healthy people. Visit microlifefertilizer.com.
I went to a garden party to reminisce with my old friend.
Welcome back to the Home Show Garden Pros.
Welcome back to Home Show Garden Pros. This is Joey from Enchanted Nursery and Landscapes. Happy New Year, everybody. We're lucky to be able to have color in our yards all year long. Plant pansies, violas, snapdragons, calendulas, dianthus, and more for beautiful color until spring. Many of you will be celebrating outdoors for the holidays this season, so make your outdoors festive and fun. This is a great time to get shade trees planted so they can get established before the heat of the summer comes back along. We all know it's going to be here soon. Replant your pots, mulch your beds, and don't forget a chimenea to keep you warm and toasty. Enchanted Forest is located on FM 2759, convenient to Great Woods, Sugar Land, and First Colony. Enchanted Gardens is located on FM 359, convenient to Fulshear, Cinco Ranch, and Richmond. To keep up with all of our events, go to our website at myenchanted.com or visit us on Instagram and Facebook at Enchanted Forest Richmond and Enchanted Gardens Richmond. Happy New Year. Now, back to Michael and Danny.
Thank you, Joey. Glad to have Michael here from Kingwood Garden Center and Warren's Southern Gardens, getting ready for the new year, cruising forward. So, okay, so part of growing your own food is having healthy soil, and there's some huge advantages to that. One is better tasting produce. You know, that's just like a big advantage to growing your own food, is the food tastes better. Like the tomatoes, Michael, we were talking about, that's like the perfect example. People don't like grocery store tomatoes because they taste like wet cardboard.
Right.
And last I checked, people aren't just loading up wet cardboard on their sandwiches.
Exactly. But that's a variety that the production is good, the disease and insect resistance is low, and they can be shipped and stored for any number of months and then gassed, and they turn red by the time they get to the grocery store.
Right. Yeah. So
that's something that we demand is red tomatoes in the grocery store year round.
Blemishless red tomatoes. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And absolutely
that's
right.
That's the way it's done. That they can very successfully be grown in your own garden and with very little ease. It's not nearly as difficult as we see sometimes with people planting tomatoes.
And another impact that's related to flavor, and this was a study done on apples, that homegrown apples with kind of soil-first methods were 3 to 5 times more nutritious than store-bought apples that were grown commercially. 3 to 5 times more nutritional value. And it's surmised NASA did a lot of these studies because they wanted to grow plants in space at the space station, that rung true across most produce grown in a garden, is that it, in good soil, it's 3 to 5 times more nutritious. And so that means if you're growing some collards at home, you know, or kale at home, that stuff is going to be very, very, very good for you and your kids. And so there's just a lot of reasons to start with good soil. And another reason, Michael, to start with good soil, and now this is one of your favorites, is that it simply grows better plants. You know, you don't have plants that are just kind of frozen.
Right, exactly. It's people just need to practice better soil health. We see a lot of people that come in with plants or pictures, and it was one that they bought. They saw it on sale. It looked good. It was, you know, 18 inches tall and laying over in the pot. Mm. And generally when that happens, it's really hard to make a recovery with anything like that. So consequently, then your production is down. Your insect population increases.
Right.
Fungi and things increase, and so it's just an overall crop failure.
Mm.
So the healthier the plants are, the better the soil, the less insect problem you have. Mm. That's just a known fact. Sick plants, disease plants that are struggling, they actually emit a radar that insects can pick up on.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And if the plants are good and healthy, they produce things that are fight bacteria and fight insects and things like that. They're good, strong plants. Well, they don't want to go attack a plant that's strong and healthy. They won't do any good. They emit a toxin that's within the vascular system of the plant that actually repels insects.
Wow.
So they don't go for that so much. So a good, healthy, strong plant will give you a lot of production and very little problem.
Yeah, and that's amazing. I mean, so the idea here is that if you start with healthy soil, you get more nutritious, more delicious, insect resistant, right? And generally you're talking about safer for you and your family and your pets. And so
right.
So that's what practicing better soil health is. And when we're building a garden from scratch, right, this is the one area that you don't want to skimp. You can find free fence boards if you want to make your raised beds out of fence boards, you know, right? You can, you know, find somebody who's demolishing an apartment and find a bunch of bricks or something like that to use that to make your beds. But you do not want to skimp on the soil, right? This is just like a big reality here, is the soil is what will give us success, and not just short-term success,
right?
But long-term success.
Long-term success. Everything that we do is built on a foundation. And a vegetable garden needs to be built on a good foundation. Your house is, your garage is, your automobile is. So we need to do that with our vegetable gardens and things that we plant. Get a good foundation, a good basis, and happy gardening. It'll be fun. Promise.
Well, and I think that's such an easy thing to take for granted, that a good foundation, that whole notion of it. I mean, those of you that have had foundation issues with your house, you know how costly and how never-ending it is, right? It never resolves itself. It's always shifting. And that, you know, it's the same thing. You start with bad soil. I mean, Michael, I know you've done something like this too, but we made, at my house, the first time I put in 4 beds, I used a different soil for each one, right? And when it came down to it, now I only had 4 options, so... and you guys weren't making soil then, so unfortunately I didn't get to use the heirloom soils. I have since then refilled a bed with them, and I can say the vegetables grew very nicely in that. Only one bed really grew the veggies. 2 of them were okay. They kind of, you know, didn't really grow real fast. New plants didn't start. Seeds didn't pop up great. And one of them just didn't grow at all. And so that's why it's like... It's not just the case of like you want to get good soil. You also want to avoid bad soil. And so that's why we're trying to encourage you to really consider 1 or 2 locations for getting good soil. I mean, Michael mentioned raised bed mix. I don't remember who that was from, but you mentioned the espoma mix. I love talking about Nature's Way Resources soils. Y'all's Texas Heirloom soil is phenomenal. The Black Magic from Landscaper's Pride is great. But really, Farm Dirt, not one of our sponsors, but they do a good job. But that's kind of it when it comes to soils in the city. You really want to be careful when you're doing that. So let's just say that they're doing an 8-inch raised bed from scratch, and they've already made their outer rim. What are you filling it with?
Well, if it's 8 inches, and it would be a good time, I would probably put in at least 2 to 3 inches of compost.
Okay, nice.
That's my go-to for everything.
Absolutely.
Is compost, and you really can't use too much of it.
Mm.
There are some good products out there that are perhaps less expensive than Heirloom Soils or Nature's Way or whoever we have that are good things. Landscaper's Pride, they have one product that I really like. It's called Gardener's Magic.
Hmm.
And it's a really good product that we can use as a filler, so to speak.
Right.
So those things all mixed together. There are some relatively good manures out on the market. Either cow is the most prevalent one, and it's we think the one from Espoma is a really good.
You definitely, however, don't want to put in
mineralized.
It is good.
We
yeah,
think about
yeah.
that a lot on lawns and things, but it's really great for vegetables and anything that you're going to plant for consumption. It's organic. It's safe to use. It's no problem. I've had some great success with seeds planted in open ground last year, and germination was pretty quick with Rev.
Mm, nice.
A tablespoon and a gallon of water.
Well, there we go.
And just a little bit of a watering afterwards. I like to water the garden in first or the seeds, and then maybe the next day make an application so the saturation doesn't get all absorbed in dry soil.
It yes.
can, you know, kind of distribute itself. But they worked out great, and we're up in 3 to 5 days. And nice, strong plants.
That is awesome.
So it's that foundation. It's the thing we have to build on.
Yep, starting with good soil. And that's really where, to me, you can skimp later on. You can make your own fertilizer. You can make your own compost to add to top off with. But when you're building that bed from scratch, use good soil. So we got some good options for you out there. Thanks, Michael, for that. When we come back, we're going to continue the conversation on building a bed for one more segment. And we're going to focus on strategies and planting strategies. So Home Show Garden Pros will return.
When choosing a metal roof for your home, some important things to consider are curb appeal, weather resistance, and durability. At Mueller, we've got you covered, plus more. Our new line of standing seam roofing panels offer unsurpassed structural performance, plus beautiful paint colors that'll remain fresh and vibrant for decades. You'll also get peace of mind that your roof is designed and manufactured in-house, as well as warrantied by Mueller. Visit us at MuellerInc.com or call 877-2-MUELLER to start your metal roofing project today.
Bring on the molasses. Overspray your lawn with molasses. Bugs hate it. Caterpillars can't eat it. And it stops fall fungi. This is Home Show Garden Pros on Sports Radio 610.
As we talk gardening solutions, we always want to talk about Monterey Lawn and Garden. They do a phenomenal job just making terrific solutions to your garden problems. Could be a lack of honeybees, could be too many slugs, maybe it's caterpillars that you got to deal with. Maybe you're seeing some fungal problems and you want to solve those, or you want to bring in some predators. They have so many great solutions. They have some creative liquid fertilizers too that are really awesome. And they make solutions for your lawn problems. A big one right now to use is their Complete Disease Control. This is a bacterially based from a naturally occurring bacteria that is in kind of all of your soils already, but they've kind of highlighted and increased it. And that bacteria, it does two things. It eats bad fungi, like your brown patch or like cotton root rot. It eats those, and then it turns them into fertilizer. So, you know, everything that eats releases. And so, you know, Michael was just talking about manure. Well, this protection comes basically from bacterial manure after it eats the fungi that's killing your plant. So if you're seeing, like, a lot of discolorization on your boxwood, I would go to Monterey Lawn and Garden look up the name of this stuff, complete disease control, head straight into your local co-op member and ask for it by name, Monterey Complete Disease Control, because it will solve your boxwood problem. It will solve that fading of the boxwoods. Maybe you had to replace them multiple times. As slug, snail, caterpillar seasons come upon us again, slug and snail season's right around the corner. We usually start seeing a lot of snail and slug damage in February, and that's where Sluggo is phenomenal for protecting your plants. Really, when it comes down to it, Monterey's got so many great options. Their website, MontereyLawnGarden.com. A beautiful thing is Warren Southern Gardens, all the co-op members carry a lot of their products and can help you find which one you need. So just remember that name, Monterey. They're making incredible products. 281-833-3333. Got Michael Wagner here talking gardening, talking building garden beds. So we just discussed how important it is to start with great soil, and we wanted to talk a little bit about strategy. So Houston's a unique place to grow. We have year-round production, and you know, it all comes down to strategy. So hey, Michael, it's a pretty open-ended question, is what are some of your favorite gardening strategies that have led to success for you and for other people?
Well, probably the most important thing is organic fertilizer. I know we talk about that, but it has, in my experience, it's always been the top. And I've done them both because I've been doing it long enough and I didn't have all these organic things. And what I find is that if the soil is good and organic, it's porous, it holds moisture, it lets moisture go through the soil. All the other things don't happen. We have a lot of people that they grow a garden, and I don't know, about April or May, hey, what do we do with all the weeds in the garden?
Right.
You know, that's a big problem. Well, build a good, healthy soil, and you won't have weeds. Weeds don't just come knocking on your door and go down and jump in your garden. They have to have a certain environment. They have to have a certain foundation in order to grow.
Absolutely.
Nature puts them here to eliminate and try to control erosion. Mother Nature, you can go build a highway and dig up the side of the road. In 2 weeks, she's got something growing.
Absolutely.
And that didn't just blow in. And it was sitting in the soil. Those things are there. And when the timing is right and the things are necessary, up pop the weeds. Tremendous amount of research now with weeds and types of weeds. We can tell you what's wrong with the soil by looking at the weed population. Pretty easy to do. It's too wet, it's too dry, it's too alkaline, it's too whatever. So if you start and you get the base, you get the foundation, buy good plants, good healthy plants.
Yes.
Then you're going to have about 90% of your garden problems solved in the very beginning.
Yeah.
And soils play a really, really important part of that.
Absolutely. Huge part of it. And, you know, you said something about losing moisture, and it just made you, and weeds, maybe think of how important mulching is. So you may mulch your veggie beds, especially in the summer, and that can save you a lot of hassle, a lot of soil damage that way. Another strategy I love is going up trellis, cages, poles. Oh my! It's like getting the plants to go up means that they have more kind of space to be up in the air. Their roots are a little bit deeper, and there's a little bit less competition there. So a couple strategies to be involved with. You always want to grow your tomatoes upward, and they're going to make more fruit that way. But we get big tomatoes here in Houston. Those little two-foot cages are really more for your eggplants and your peppers, stuff like that, so they're not toppling over. On those tomatoes, you want a six-foot cage, something like that. You want them pretty dang tall. So a couple strategies to help there. We're going to go to break. We're going to come back and talk to Rachel, and then we're going to discuss how to get the most out of your lawn over this winter season. 281-833-3333. Home Show Garden Pros.
Mike Ball knows irrigation.
Over 30 years.
He looks at yards, sees issues like underwatering,
dead zones, yellowing, sick trees,
overwatering,
brown patch, weeds, root rot.
Find the healthy balance with Mike Ball Irrigation, Landscaping and Lighting.
Hi, it's Mike. We design and install water-conserving irrigation systems, reducing water waste by 30%, delivering healthier yards and gardens.
Invite Mike Ball Irrigation to review your system.
It's easy, and you'll love the difference.
MikeBallIrrigation.com.
get more from your gardening. The Home Show Garden Pros are here to help with advice and tools they trust to keep things green.
MicroLife, all organic biological fertilizers. Healthy soils, healthy plants, healthy people.
Mike Ball Irrigation Landscaping and Lighting, putting the wow back in your yard.
Call the Home Show Garden Pros now, 281-496-5711.
Hi, everybody. This is Anita from Nelson Nursery and Water Gardens in Katy, Texas, on the west side of Houston. We hope you've had a happy holidays. If you're looking for a way to beat the winter doldrums, come on out. Maybe use that gift card that you got for Christmas. We'll have all the beautiful plants and annuals that you can plant at this time of year, plus pottery, fountains, and anything you could think of to enhance your landscape.
Pottery is multifunctional. You can use it in your landscape, plant plants in it. It adds color, form, texture to the garden. It adds height. Pottery can be made into an umbrella stand. You can use pot to hold a coiled up hose, make your landscape a lot nicer and neater. You can make it into a table and even store stuff inside of it. So pottery is very versatile.
We're open today, Saturday until 5, closed on Sunday, open again for Monday. We hope that you have a happy new year. Nelson's is located a half mile north of I-10 on Katy Fort Bend County Road. Just head west and take exit 742, hang a right, head up a half a mile, and you'll see us on the right. Now back to Danny and Michael.
Yes, thank you, Anita. Michael is here, and I'm Danny. 281-833-3333. We're going to talk with Rachel. Hey, Rachel, you are on Home Show Garden Pros.
Well, good morning.
Good morning to you as well. Do you have a question for Michael?
And my question, two questions. Given the warmness of December, do I need to adjust the timing for when to trim my myrtles? And then the second question has to do with the cold weather that's coming in. Do I need to cover anything or be really protective about stuff outdoors?
Well, your myrtle, I'm assuming you're talking about crepe myrtle.
Correct.
Okay. There's really no school of that has to be pruned at all other than tip pruning. It's usually referred to as crepe myrtle, crepe murder. When people prune them back to just nubs, does make the tree come out nice and full, but it's usually best not to. I would recommend that you just prune the old seed pods off, maybe 4 to 6 inches below that, and try to develop a nice crown on your tree. Next month will be a good time to fertilize it, about mid-February. Other than that, crepe myrtle is a good small tree or large shrub for your landscape. Or are you having problems with it?
Oh, no. I just was concerned about, usually I do the trimming or light trimming in January, but it's been so warm for December, I didn't know if I needed to back that out a little bit more.
No, I don't think you're going to have any problem with the weather making any great changes on what we normal gardening practices that we do. And your other question was
related to covering any plants that we should be focused on this cold snap.
Yeah.
Well, probably any of your tender annuals, they're always kind of tough to cover and control because the temperature does get so low with those, you know, coleus and begonias and things like that are going to probably suffer some damage if they're left out. The great thing that is the problem is the wind. It really tends to dehydrate a plant rather quickly and dry the foliage out, and it kind of starts a process that's hard to come back. Wind chill plays no effect at all. That's a feels like. It doesn't affect the plant in any way if it's 27 degrees with chill factor, other than the cold wind. That's where the problem comes from. Most of your perennials and things should be okay. If you've got blooms or buds or anything like that, you might want to cover them and protect them from the wind and any light frost that we may have. So people need to keep in mind, too, when we refer to frost cloth, many people call it freeze cloth. It's designed to keep the soil temperature, not the soil temperature, the air temperature, about 4 to 6 degrees warmer under the blanket than outside of the blanket. So if it's 26 degrees on the thermometer, it's 32 mm-hmm. degrees supposedly underneath the blanket.
In the best case scenario.
If it's 10 degrees outside, then it's 16 degrees under the blanket, and that's probably a death sentence for a lot of our annuals that we grow. But overall, I think it's going to be 33. Shouldn't cause us a lot of a problem. Make sure that your plants are watered well. That's always important, to have a good moisture content in the plants. They tend to weather a little better.
Absolutely. And, you know, we're going to take a break and kind of really revisit some serious advice for people who are wanting to protect their plants. What are the 2-3 things we have to do, and maybe what is extraneous for this this light freeze? Or maybe it's not so light. So we'll visit. Rachel, thanks so much for those great questions. And we'll be right back here on Home Show Garden Pros.
Native plants thrive in Texas heat with less water. Previously, they were hard to find near Conroe or the Woodlands. Till now. Select from hundreds of native plants and summer veggies at Nature's Way Resources Garden Center. Bring your dog, kids, and shop over 2 acres of flowers, vegetables, and plants. Nature's Way experts help you pick the right plants, organic soils, and supplements for success. Nature's Way Resources Garden Center, 45 North at FM 1488, naturewayresources.com.
Welcome back to the Home Show Garden Pros.
Home Show Garden Pros is back. One last segment here with Michael Wagner from Warren Southern Gardens and Kingwood Garden Center. So we got a cold snap coming, Michael. I mean, it's showing my area as being probably getting down to like 31 on Sunday night, Sunday or Monday, first thing in the morning. And so my big question, I guess, is with it having been so warm, does that become kind of an extreme temperature? Are maybe more plants threatened than we consider normally? Or is it just kind of like every winter we do this, don't go nuts?
Well, I would say every winter, let's not go nuts.
Okay, good.
There's usually not a problem unless we have circumstances like last year in February.
Right.
That long, prolonged cold is what does the damage. Most plants know, I guess it's just genetic. I really don't know. They know when to shut down.
Right.
Trees know when to shut down. Mm. They know. That's how you get your colors and your leaves. It's all sunlight.
Yes.
It's all regulated by sunlight.
Okay. Gotcha.
And so the sunlight changed. The temperature changed. It stayed a little bit warmer. But I think most of the plants are already on track.
Yeah,
that we use as our foundation plantings and our perennials and those type of things. They're on track to overwinter, but only if they get a really severe winter are we going to have any damage. We're going to always lose things like coleus and marigolds and
right.
things like that. We can't have that. Those are annuals.
No, like I have zucchini in my garden right now. You know, it's going to be gone. You know, like I'm. The squashes yeah. that maybe have lasted a little bit longer because it's been so warm, you know, plants like that have stuck around a little longer than they should may go with this snap. So there's probably two or three things that we really need to be doing, and not covering, not going the whole gamut, getting out the warm Christmas lights and, you know. So what are some things that people can do to protect their plants? You mentioned watering.
Yeah, watering, make sure that they're well hydrated. That's always important during really cold weather.
Right.
Cover with light cloth type materials. Don't use plastic. That really encourages leaf burn on the plants where it touches. So any kind of fabrics like that, and then you can get cloth that's sold in, you know, 10x12 sheets. And if you've got some things that you really want to try to save, or you know, the easiest thing that I've done is I know it's going to get cold every year, and if there's something I really want to keep, take it out of the ground in October or November. Prune it a little bit, top prune it, plant it, put it in the container, and that's a lot easier to bring in or sat in the garage for a few days. The cold doesn't last more than 2 or 3 days on us, and then we're back to, 80-degree weather.
Yeah.
So watering and some of these things are annuals, and
right.
we're just going to have to replant them or spend a little time covering them.
Yeah. I see a lot of those bags of leaves that we see every winter everywhere. And you know me, I hate wasting a resource. You think picking up some of those and kind of overtopping at least for a night or two over some of those tender plants would be helpful?
Yeah. I think if you could completely cover the plant.
Yeah, just make a mound of leaves over it. But really, 1 or 2 days, don't do too much. But that might be a free resource. That could certainly help if you've got any citrus you're worried about, any other tropical plants. Making a mound of leaves can insulate it really, really well. Only if you water it. Water is the key component, right? Because we all know at 30 degrees, at 29 degrees, the water's not going to freeze. You might get a little bit of frosting, but, the water in the soil is going to stay unfrozen. So great advice there. Thanks, Michael.
Well, it hydrates the plant.
Mm.
It doesn't have dry tissue in there that's needing water. So that helps to condition the plant.
Yeah.
Just being well hydrated.
Well, that is more good info, Michael. Great job, as always. If you guys have more questions, head on up to Warren Southern Gardens. They can help you with almost any question that you've got about gardening. Some of your live questions, maybe not what they want to be answering. So, yeah, we've enjoyed the Happy New Year episode here, January 1st, 1122. And this has been Home Show Garden Pros. Next up is Home Show Radio with Tom Tynan. So hang on. The joy continues with Tom. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you.
You could spend your whole weekend slogging through that to-do list of chores at home.
Ah!
Or you could go from to-do to done like a boss. Get the help it takes from Houston's go-to guy for the sport of home improvements, Tom Tynan on Home Show Radio.
I listen to your show forever. God bless.
Coming up next after the Home Show Garden Pros.
And anytime you want.
And homeshowradio.com. Pros you can trust. Tips, advice, videos, and the Home Show podcast. Always on.
Always free.
homeshowradio.com.
Stay tuned. Home Show Radio will return shortly.